Welcome to Becoming Unstuck, a safe place to help individuals find the tools they need to live the life they truly want. I'm your host, Jordan Meyer, trauma and resiliency therapist. Join me here each week where we will learn one tool that you can use to help you become the person you've always wanted to be and live each day with more happiness. Now, in today's episode, we're going to be talking about something a little bit differently. I had somebody recently that I was talking to and reached out to me who asked about how to take some of these concepts and ideas and make it a little bit more concrete. Right. So oftentimes talking about existential stress, talking about meaning and purpose, logotherapy, happiness, fulfillment, it can often be very vague ideas and concepts and sometimes hard to understand. And so as we were talking, they were wanting something a little bit more concrete that they could follow kind of step by step and be able to walk through some of these things. And that's one of the hardest things is how to take this information and apply it to your actual lives. So as we were talking about it and thinking about it, my mind started to go back to something that I did a lot of and very familiar with. But in today's society, we don't talk about it in this way. And so what we're going to talk about today is actually the step process. It's the 12 steps within AA, within NA, CA. Now, oftentimes in the recovery community with substances and addictions, the 12 steps is essential. It is crucial and critical to reach recovery, to be able to have a life and sustainment afterwards. And so in those circles and in that community, the 12 steps is talked about regularly. It is a massive part of it. And AA has a proven track record of helping people to go from what we would call a rock bottom or the worst possible place they could be at to living a life substance-free and happy again. And I was thinking about that in connection to it because the 12 steps is a really good aspect, a really good way to have a concrete step to be able to get to somewhere that you're trying to get to. Now, recovery and the word recovery, the definition of it, right, is returning to a state that you were previously, okay? So definition of recovery, we have two definitions that really stand out. A return to a normal state of health, mind, and strength. And the second definition is the action or process of regaining possession or control of something. And so when you look at recovery, nowhere in it does it talk about substances. Nowhere in it does it talk about actually what you use as a vice or a crux to emotionally deal with things in life. It talks about how to regain a state that you previously had prior to whatever the vice or crux was. So the 12-step process is something that people can use on a daily basis to help you work through some of these areas in a very concrete way. I myself have participated and done the step process, and I absolutely love it. I absolutely love the exploration and awareness that it gives you despite even substances and not having them, right? So returning to a state could be anything. It doesn't have to be substances. So step one is what we're going to talk about today and understanding how you can use it in your life. What's interesting about the 12-step process, no matter who uses it, is that in the AA 12 steps, a substance is only mentioned once in all 12 steps. Therefore, the 12-step process is less about getting off of substances and more about learning how to be a better person. Because when you're a person that you can be proud of and look at yourself in the mirror of, you don't need something to cover that up. You don't need a vice to get you through the day, right? And it doesn't have to be substances, behaviors, process, addictions, relationships, anything. Fill in the blank, right? That's the great thing about the step process is that there's also CODA, Codependence Anonymous, that uses a step process, but it's relational. It's relationships and learning how to overcome toxic relationships. So I use this as an example for people to have because I absolutely truly do believe in no way am I being endorsed or getting something back from any step relationship that I have. I genuinely do believe in it. And that's why I want to talk about it because it has really helped me. And I know it's helped countless others in order to help answer some of these questions. So step one is you have to admit you're powerless to whatever it is. Now within AA, it's we admit we are powerless to alcohol, right? In Codependence Anonymous, it's we admit we are powerless to toxic relationships. So fill in the blank, whatever your step is, okay? Recovery and sustained sobriety requires us to look at a pattern of coping with life that has historically led to addictive behaviors and unmanageability. In other words, we must come to understand through our history how coping choices have led to unmanageability in our lives. Unmanageability results from behaviors when we experience negative consequences, when our social, relational, financial, interpersonal, and intrapersonal is negatively affected by the choices we are making. In order to have recovery, in order to work through these areas that are feeling like our life is unmanageable and we're losing control over it, we have to learn how to identify how our side of the street is playing a role. We need to learn to identify the patterns and the players that are participating in this to create the unmanageability. So it's time for you, if you're in this place, to identify what events provide insight into how your life is becoming unmanageable, okay? Maybe it's a substance. Maybe it's a way of coping. Maybe it's family relationships. Maybe it's shopping. Maybe it's Instagram. Maybe it's social media. Something is creating that escape, that way out, that becomes the only thing possible and the only way of getting through it. Now, in its essence, step one is about learning how to change habits and patterns and behaviors that we feel like are creating unmanageability in our lives. Something that we feel maybe we're controlled by, we are powerless to, we want to try to change or get rid of. And right now, there's a lot of popularity in talking about habits, how to change habits. There's a really popular book that people are reading on how to change habits and have better ones. A lot of the coaching that's going around right now is talking a lot about mindsets and changing mindsets, right? That comes from a therapy called CBT, where you change your way of thinking in order to then change your emotions and thus your behaviors, right? And everything stems from change your thoughts, change your life. And that's each person's own prerogative, right? If that's something that works for you, totally all right. Use it. I like it. For some people, it works for some people, it doesn't. As a trauma and resiliency therapist, I choose to look at things differently. In fact, I do look at things differently for that reason. I've experienced it enough to know for me that the work oftentimes has to be deeper than just changing a mindset or a way of thinking. And going deeper and actually changing those things is a lot more difficult. And so for me, rather than changing thoughts, rather than deciding to change habits and patterns just on a surface level, I look at it through the lens that if you learn to identify why you developed that habit in the first place, if you learn to go back and identify the first domino in the line of dominoes that caused you to have that negative belief to begin with, where did you learn for the first time that you thought you weren't good enough? Where did you learn for the first time that you think you weren't lovable or not smart enough? Where did you learn this in your youth, in your childhood? Because that's the stem of where this began, in negative beliefs, these habits. Maybe some of these habits, these vices that we have, started later in life, and that's okay too. Either way, I look at it through the lens of, where did this begin? Where does it start? If we can get to the root of it, if we can get to the real reason that this habit or unmanageability started, then we can go back and address that. When we address that, we knock that first domino over and the rest follows, right? That's one of the reasons that trauma and resiliency talks about lasting change. It's also one of the reasons that a lot of times things that we learn, such as changing mindsets, new ways of thinking, thought records and things like that, have temporary change to them. It works for a minute, but it doesn't work for long term. This way of doing it is lasting. It works, and it works the rest of your life. You clean everything out in a way that actually allows you to function moving forward with lasting, permanent change. And that's important to me. As a resiliency and trauma therapist, I'm not looking for temporary change. Everything I do, everything I talk about is lasting change. I don't want you to feel better for a month. I want you to feel better the rest of your life. And that's why I share this information the way that I do. That's also the reason I like step one. And the way that I go about doing step one is kind of a combination of what we would say step one and step four in the step process. So if you're finding yourself in your life weighed down by something that you feel is unmanageable, maybe it is a vice, maybe it's a drink, maybe it's an action, a behavior, maybe it's a relationship, maybe you're finding yourself unable to find a healthy relationship or know what a healthy relationship is. Maybe it's communication. Maybe it's toxicity. There's a lot of things that we can fill in here, and I want you to determine for yourself what that is, because you can change anything in your life if you have the tools and the energy and the desire to want to do it. So step one, and actually applying it to your life, looks like this. We need to start off by making what we call a fearless moral inventory. And a fearless moral inventory is, I won't sugarcoat it, it's tough. It is difficult. Because what we're doing when we take a fearless moral inventory is we are walking through in every capacity and way what we feel like has led to this unmanageable behavior. What we feel like has led to this toxic aspect to our life. We're going to make a list of everything that goes into it. We're going to make a list of every person that's involved. We're going to make a list of every behavior that's hurt us and other people. We're going to make a list of the justifications we told ourselves. We're going to make a list of the reasons we thought it was okay. And we're going to walk through this step by step and actually getting back down to that last domino. In order for us to get to the root of really where this began and where it started, we need to be able to face some difficult things. The truth is nobody likes to go back in their past and identify the areas that we want to choose to forget, right? Nobody wants to go back and look at that. That's why we don't do it, because it's difficult. It's hard. Ironically, the only way that we're going to recover and feel better from those is by doing that, is by going back and looking at it. This is trauma therapy 101, is you have to go back and complete the full narrative, the full story. So which means you got to go back to the beginning, right? So this process helps us to get out of being self-centered, self-directed. We begin making progress toward becoming other-centered and other-directed. And as we do this, our life begins to improve. We begin to develop a new decision-making process, and now we have a solid foundation of which to build our new life in recovery, right? We realize that we don't have to do it alone. We realize there's help available, and we begin to change these characteristics that led to these decisions and process in the first place. Now, this is the first part of this fearless moral inventory, is going through and actually identifying what happened, why it happened, who was involved, and walking through this whole process. The next part of this moral inventory is we need to identify character defects. So these character defects are going to be characteristics or attributes that are on the negative side of humanity and us as a person. Every person has both positive and negative things that we're trying to work on, right? That's why there's a balance in life. There's a yin and a yang, right? That's why for pride, there's humility. Why for anger, there's peace. Why for selfishness, there's selflessness. There's opposites in everything. What we need to identify is what character defects or what on the selfish side in those characteristics contributed to us making these decisions and why we made these decisions. Now, this part is, I won't lie, it's tough too, right? To actually go back and identify and look at you as a person and say, you know what? In this moment, I was being selfish. In this moment, I was being inconsiderate of others. In this moment, I was being prideful. Nobody wants to go back and look at those things. But this is why this is so powerful. This is why it is so changing and transformative in its nature. Because we're going down to that dirty, the nitty gritty, and we're looking at how us as a person can change and develop. If I want to be a better person, then I need to identify the areas that I can grow in and change in. And this is the best way to do that. At least from a concrete linear standpoint, right? So I identify what I did, the behaviors, and how they were unhealthy and unmanageable. And then I identify the excuses and the justifications I made to do them. And then I identify the characteristics or the attributes that would have led to those justifications in the first place. Selfishness led to feeling like I deserved to do it, therefore I did it without consideration of others, right? So we identify this moral inventory and these character defects, and we walk through them. Now, the best part about this that I do want to highlight and focus on is we need to do a full moral inventory. Oftentimes, when people look at this, they do it in a way that they only focus on the negative. They only focus on the areas they need to change. And in order to do a full moral inventory, we need the positive as well. You also need to recognize the areas that you are doing good in and where you are progressing in, because you want to maintain and continue to do those. We want to know where we can grow, but also validate ourselves that we are doing good in certain areas. And then we begin to really address and change these character defects and how we can begin to change them. Now, if we could sum up in one word what this moral inventory is accountability. We need to have the humility and awareness to look at ourselves, our side of the street, and really break it down, understanding that we're not doing this to shame ourselves or to guilt ourselves. We do that automatically. We don't need any more of that. We want to set that to the side. The purpose of doing this is to identify the areas that we can grow in. We need to be accountable to ourselves. When we're accountable to other people, it can help. It can help motivate us. It gives us a reason to be accountable, right? It's why often in recovery, you have an accountability partner. Ultimately, the person that we are accountable to is ourselves. How do we feel within us? When you wake up in the morning, can you look at yourself in the mirror and genuinely feel like you're a good person, and the reasons that you can say that? That's what we're shooting for. That's what we're trying to get to, is to the core of who we are as a person, growing in every way that we can. And like I said, the process of the steps is not to shame or guilt in everything that we have done. It's to change us from the inside out. It's transformative in nature to help us become the person that we want to be. There's a reason that the steps are sequential in the order they are. The reason you have to do them in order. Okay, now, the last part I want to say to this is that we're going to a lot of areas that are difficult to process, difficult to look at, and difficult to understand. I would encourage you, if you're wanting to do this and looking at doing this, have a partner to do it with. That's why oftentimes in recovery, you have a sponsor that you work things through. Maybe that's a sponsor. Maybe that's a therapist. Maybe that's a coach. Maybe that's a spiritual leader. You need support while doing this. And so I would recommend, if you're finding it difficult and overwhelming, do it little by little. Take breaks, do as much as you can, then take a break and continuing to go through it. These steps take time. This is a process, right? In reality, somebody who completes step 1 through 12 is looking at a year minimum of doing it, sometimes longer, right? And like I said, that minimum of a year, because this takes time. Transformation takes time. It's not something you can do instantly and quick. Now, if there is an instant and quick fix to things, that usually means that it fades quick. If there's a long transformative, that means it lasts long term, right? So I want you to have that understanding and awareness of what quick and long actually mean in a therapy aspect, in a transformative process. So if you're finding yourself with unmanageability in your life, whatever that may be, this is another avenue, another tool that you can use to help you change things and become that person you want to be. So for me, in the work that I do and the way that I look at things and the lens in which I look at things, I firmly believe that the behaviors that we have as human beings are directly connected to the feelings and negative beliefs that we have experienced early on in life. Our present behaviors are directly correlated to the experiences and belief systems that we have gained from those experiences early on in life that now continue to repeat themselves. And if we can learn how to understand and change where these belief systems came from that leads to our current behavior, then we can change and eliminate this behavior and then replace it with the behavior that we're wanting to see instead. Now, if you enjoyed today's episode and you want to work with me one-on-one, please reach out. Send me a message on Instagram, DM me, reach out however, which way you prefer. And I'll be happy to work with you one-on-one and walk you through how to do this personally in your life as it relates to it. Now, I've had a few people begin to reach out to me in questions and actually walking through stuff. So if you're listening, if there's a particular topic that you want to hear, if there's something that you're personally struggling with in your life, please reach out. Let me know. Let's do an episode. I'll have you on the show. I'll walk you through it. Any way that I can help in helping people's life become more fulfilled and happy, please reach out. I'm always here if you need it. And again, reach out at jordanmeyer.cmhc, and I will see you guys on the next episode. Thank you for listening. As always, if you'd enjoyed today's episode, please share with your friends and family and join me here next week. If you happen to live in the Utah-Salt Lake area, please reach out for help if needed. You can find me on Instagram at jordanmeyer.cmhc. Follow me on Facebook. And remember, you can find this episode and future episodes on any podcast platform, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and I will see y'all next week.